said that every quilt has a story, and it's so true. But I believe every quilter has a story. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. On this episode, I interviewed Lonnie Nagy. I met Lonnie through a Facebook quilters group when members of the group were welcoming a new member and listing where they were from. I saw the name of a small town that I had lived in when I was young and just had to connect with her. I'm so glad I did. She was a delight to visit with. Hope you enjoyed Lonnie's interview as much as I did. Hey, well, welcome to A Quilter's Life. How do you pronounce your first name?
Lonnie. Lonnie is a Hawaiian name. It's
neat.
Most people, it's short for Leilani, but my parents just named me Lonnie.
That's cool. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with your background. Who are you?
Okay. I was born in Southern California, Upland, California, but raised in Fontana, California. I am a retired physical therapist just for the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Willits, California, since 2000.
And you know, Willits is my most favorite place ever.
I think we chatted about that one time that you
yeah,
lived in as a child, and we have some common friends.
Yes. We left that town when I was 10, and the Smith's Farm is the specific part of Willits that is just my most favorite place.
Yeah, and the boys and the kids still live up there.
Yeah.
And Mama Smith is still alive, that, as far as I know. She was last year.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. She's a sweet lady.
Yeah, she doesn't even know that she's probably one of my people I have in mind. Who do you want to be like? Mary Smith would be one of them.
Do you ever have a family that still live here? Or?
No. No one left in California.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
Before we get on some of those questions, I just noticed on your Facebook page that it looks like you painted something with your Sit and Sew group.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, and I have it in my notes here. Willits is having a Beautify Willits. And so a lot of individuals and groups are painting fire hydrants and trash receptacles. And so our group, we had to submit to the city council designs and colors. And we were honored with a trash receptacle right in front of the city park, right across the street from City Hall. And so seven of us out of the group had a little painting party, and I had gone out there the day or so before and measured and chalked out quilt blocks. And so we all painted quilt blocks on the cement trash receptacle. And so that's our Sit and Sew group. Another friend of mine, Rachel Cash, and I started this group about 3 years ago, and we meet at the library in Willits.
Mm-hmm.
Once on the second Saturday, and after the first year, it was hit and miss about when days we could get, but after that, we became a sanctioned Mendocino County Library group, so we always have the second Saturday now.
That is so neat.
Yeah, and we have about 12 regular members, and
mm-hmm.
we've had as many as 19 come to the group, and a lot, we all bring our sewing machines, or some just do handwork.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Share.
And the trash receptacle looks really cool, too. That's so neat.
Thank you. We have fun with it.
So what are some of your other hobbies?
Well, besides painting, I've done a number of acrylic-type paintings and woodwork on wood, and I used to do toll painting. I recently took a class in watercolor, And so I'm enjoying doing some watercolor painting and of course the sewing and the quilting, and I have an embroidery machine, so I do some embroidery. And then I like to travel and fish and go fishing. We just went fishing in the ocean out of Fort Bragg, my husband and I, and got our limit of cod for the year. And so that's good. We're going to go for salmon next month.
So how do you do on that road between Willits and Fort Bragg?
I've traveled it since 91. We lived on the coast from 91 to 2000.
Oh,
So
okay.
back and forth to go shopping. I don't have a problem. We didn't have, my children had a little problem when they were younger, but as they grew up, they didn't have any problem.
Yeah, I was little when we went on that. And
Yeah.
my dad worked for Bank of America there, and
Oh.
people down in San Francisco said, "Why did it take the courier so long to go from Fort Bragg to Willits?"
Really?
And so they sent someone from San Francisco up to drive that, and it took that driver twice as long as it took the courier to drive it. So
I bet they had the southern road 128, which goes from the coast towards south towards Cloverdale and on to San Francisco. That is typically named Dramamine Drive. Don't take if you're not used to it and you don't take Dramamine, yeah, you have to stop frequently.
but that's a great childhood memory too. You did a fishing trip last weekend?
Yeah, we did a fishing trip last Sunday out of Fort Bragg, and then we brought home our limits of codfish, and with my husband cooked. He loves to cook, so he deep fried some codfish for us last night. It was delicious.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So do you combine your fishing and travel?
No, not really, but I combine my quilting and travel.
Oh, cool.
I've been to Bali twice.
Mm-hmm.
I go with a group called crafttours.com. It's owned by a gentleman named Jim West, and he and his associates take trips all around the world, different places, to see and do crafts of the countries. So I've been to Bali twice, I've been to Kenya, and I've been to Austria. And the Bali one, the reason I went twice is that's where they make batik fabric, and I love batik fabric. And batik fabric in Bali is $3 a yard. And you
Wow.
probably know it's getting up there. It's at least 12 per yard where I am. Anyway, and you can take 2 50-pound suitcases with you. So I usually buy clothes from Senior Center, Goodwill, or just clothes that I would have given them, and take those clothes to the country and leave them there so I have more room in my suitcase to bring fabric home. It's a lot of fun because you also get to do some batik stamping with the wax, and also kind of drawing with the wax, and then dye it. And then we also did woodworking and acrylic painting. And I think there was a cooking class, which I didn't go to, and a basket class, which I didn't go to. But you can see the Bali trip on YouTube if you plug in crafttours.com, and the Bali trip that he took, I think it was in 16, because he does a show called Destination Craft as well, and it's on a lot of PBS stations. And
Okay.
that was you could see it on YouTube. It's interesting. And so then I've also gone on a couple of quilting cruises. I've been to Alaska with the Quilt for a Cure. That was in 2006. I've been to Hawaii with Alex Anderson in 2007, and I've gone on two Scotty Dog quilt cruises to Mexico and New England, and I will be going on another Scotty Dog cruise this summer, a land trip through Italy and a cruise down to Greece. And
Wow.
we will be doing some quilt projects on that cruise.
How
And
fun.
Dotty Dog Quilts is owned by Liz Scott Adams and her mother, Brenda Lou Scott. They used to have a shop called Scotty Dog Quilts in Eureka, and then they moved to Minnesota a few years ago. But they come back twice a year in the spring and in the fall and do a quilt retreat in Lolita, California, which is at the Bear River Casino. And the big ballroom holds enough tables for over 50 sewing machines.
Wow. I'm just trying to picture 50 sewing machines all in one room. How cool is that?
And we have a great time.
That would be fun.
Yes,
Now,
it's
when you do
cool.
a quilt retreat like that, are you working on your own projects or are you working on a united, like different people are doing same type squares and you're putting them together?
Yeah, Liz Adams does design a quilt for every retreat, and many people do the quilt. But there are some that don't do the quilt, they do their own thing, but they always get the pattern anyway. I've done a lot of the quilts. I'm not a paper piecer, so if there's paper piecing involved, I don't usually do it.
Yeah.
But I've done most all of them, and I've been going to her retreat since 2002, and only missed, I think, three because I was out of town at the time of the retreats.
Wow.
They're a lot of fun.
Do you know how many quilts you have made?
Oh no, because I started quilting in 1985. I've been sewing all my life. My mom taught me to sew, and when I would sit on her lap when I was 5 or 6 years old and guide the fabric through the machine. And then when I got to be about 12, she taught me how to sew up a pair of shorts, real easy with an elastic waist. And then school came on, and so I was making skirts with elastic waist.
Yeah.
And so then in 1985, my neighbor was a quilter, and she invited me to go to the adult education class with her, and that's when I took my first quilting class. And then she introduced me to the Quilt Guild that's in Yuba City, and so I've been part of a quilt guild ever since then. And I don't know how many quilts. I don't even know how many quilts I really have in the house. I have them for all seasons.
Yeah.
I make them if I really want to do the design, or I've gotten the design from a quilt retreat or a cruise or something like that. Then I also make quilts for my family. They all have quilts, and if a new baby or a new wedding, or like right now, I just finished a graduation quilt for my great niece. Everybody's got two or three quilts from me. And I also make quilts for donation. We had the fires here in California a few
Yeah.
years ago, and so I belong to a quilt guild in Ukiah, so we make quilts to donate to fire victims. And then our sit and sew group makes doll quilts and pillowcases for the Christmas effort. So they have the toy drive for the kids, and every doll gets a quilt, and the boys and the older girls get pillowcases.
Nice.
So we're busy doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you had to retire. You don't have time for work
was
anymore.
I just retired 6 months ago, so I've been doing this for a long time. And then I just donated a quilt. You might have seen it on my Facebook page. It's for Wings of Love, and it's a quilt. It's a lap size quilt, about 50 by 50, and it depicted birds flying from one corner to the other diagonally. And I have an AccuGo quilt cutter with the Drunkard's Path die, and I
Oh.
fabric that looked like it was marbled fabric in different colors, and it kind of reminded me of feathers. So what I did the birds out of, with a light blue background for sky, and then the border in the back had different birds and parrots on it. And Yvonne Patterson Burdick who lives in Missouri, was a friend of my sister's, who my sister passed away 5 years ago with cancer. Mm-hmm. And sister had parrots, and she got a couple of them from Yvonne. And so Yvonne and I have been Facebook friends and chat back and forth. And so she asked me if I wouldn't mind making a quilt that she could use as a fundraiser, because she is a nonprofit and she does shows and stuff. And so that was the quilt that I made for her and donated to her. So it was probably one of my favorites so far. I mean, I don't have favorites or like children, but that quilt came out really pretty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Every once in a while, one will shine for a while.
Right. And like I say, I like to use batik in my quiltings. And so going to Bali those two times, I got a pretty good load of batik. I still buy more. And if I sell a quilt or I make a quilt for someone on commission, that money just goes back into my fabric stash.
Yeah. But I assume that was really fun to actually make or design the material with your painting skills and then get to use that fabric in a quilt.
Yeah. I purchased the fabric. I hadn't painted that, but just having the colors and having to place the colors in certain places and make it look like the birds were flying diagonally.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah. Sorry, my dog.
That's okay. I was going to say, and Snickers is your puppy that you haven't had too long?
He's a party-colored schnauzer, black and white, and if anybody walks by, he barks.
How about a favorite tool you use in your
Oh, program? Yeah. Well, being a physical therapist for 45 years, I treated a lot of people with neck and back issues, and some of them were office workers, and some of them were sewers, and seamstresses, and quilters, and so I think the most important tool in the sewing room is a chair. Getting a proper chair that fits the person, can be adjusted to the person, is really important, because you can have all these, you know, multi-$100,000 sewing machines and tables and rulers, but if you don't have the proper chair, you're going to have back pain. And so I've bought my chairs at Staples, and I go sit in them and play with them, like, and make sure that they are adjustable to me. I don't like armrests, so I can get closer to my sewing machine, because you need to be as close as possible so you can lean back against the chair.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there a certain way you should be sitting in the chair, your feet a certain way, or...?
Your hips should be straight out and your knees straight down, so you're like in a 90-90 position. And then the back of the chair should support your back, and so therefore taking the handles off, bringing the chair as close as possible so that you can work at the machine and keep your back straight and support it against the back of the chair. Oh, to me, that's a real important.
Yeah.
Of course, I have plenty of sewing machines and tools and rotary cutters and scissors and all that kind of stuff. But all of that doesn't really make any difference if your back's hurting you.
Right. As a physical therapist, do you have suggestions on how we should be cutting with our rotary cutter? I think I tend to lean over too far.
Right. Table height is important depending on your height, you know. I'm 5'8", so if I have to, I usually sit at my little table. I also have the AccuGo Big, which is electric. So if I need to cut certain, I have 2.5-inch strips, 5-inch squares, 10-inch squares, a multiple of things, and I can put 6 layers of fabric on that and zip it right through, and it cuts it perfectly. But if I have to cut things with my rotary cutter, because I don't have a certain size die, I stand at my kitchen counter. I have a butcher block kitchen counter. So the kitchen counter hits me probably at my waist or a little higher than my waist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to just you know, pick a table, adjust the table that you can stand at, and not strain your back, because bending over can strain your back.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting, some people use those bed risers and put underneath the table, and I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah, and that's something that can be done. And in fact, when I go to different sewing things, if I go to the Quilt Guild sewing day, they have regular conference table kind of things. And so we put a couple of tables up on those risers so that when we're cutting, we can stand and not bend over.
Yeah. Well, those are great things that we need to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to use good body mechanics when you're in sewing. And I don't know about you, but getting on the floor anymore for me doesn't work. 67, and I had a total knee done last December, and getting on and off the floor is not easy. So like when I'm going to sandwich my quilt tops, I usually do it on the day that I'm washing the sheets, so there's nothing on my king-size bed, and I will lay everything out on the bed, sandwich it up, and sit in my quilting chair at the one side of the bed, pin, and then start to roll it. And then I put my hand underneath to make sure I don't find any wrinkles, and I pin some more, and I roll it. And then as I roll it, I can see if there are any wrinkles happening, and so that I can straighten those out right away. And I don't do king-size quilts, but I've done queen-size quilts that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less stressful on the back and the knees, and don't seem to have puckers in the back of my quilts.
Huh.
And that's how I do it.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite part of the process? I've even noticed, and I have written down like design piece sandwich quilt, but I even like the ironing. I iron my cloth before I cut into it, and I enjoy that too.
Yeah, ironing's not my favorite. I do like designing. If I'm designing a quilt, a lot of times I'll do a pattern, or I'll do a quilt from Missouri Star or somewhere like that. But like this last quilt I did with the birds, I had to design that. So I had to draw it out, and I knew my quilt square is going to be about 7 inches. So I designed it out and place the design so I knew where the birds were going to be and what colors were going to be in certain places. So I do enjoy that. I like the piece. And then I have a HQ Sweet 16 sit-down quilting machine. So I enjoy doing the free motion quilting. And I've watched a lot of Angela Walters' Midnight Quilt Show and her machine quilting designs, and so I've practiced some of those, and I use quite a few of her designs.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's what I like to do.
That's neat. For fun, what was your worst quilting experience?
Well, I don't know that I had a worst quilting experience. There's things I don't care to do, like paper piecing. It's my least favorite. So I steer away from paper piecing patterns. I do like to applique, but the paper piecing, to me, tearing all that paper off and doing all of that is, to me, a waste of time. Or the worst quilting experience is when I sewed my finger once, but, you know, everybody does. Like, it went through the tip and through, I had an acrylic fingernail, and it went through the fingernail but did not hit the bone.
Wow. Oh, my. That is one thing I haven't done, and I almost hate to say yet, because it sounds like everyone gets hit once. But
it hurt once. It hurt for a while, but I was fine. You had a question about why I like to quilt? why I like to make quilts. I don't know. I've always enjoyed sewing. And then I'm in the younger days, I did clothing until 1985 when I took my first quilting class, and haven't really made any clothes since then. but I have a passion to create, and I love to hear that sewing machine just sing and go as fast as I can. And I like the design aspect of the quilting. And I love to give people their quilts and see the expression on their faces when they
Isn't that fun?
Yes, yes.
Wish we could have a picture each time.
Well, I try and get pictures each time, and I save them in a folder on my computer, and then I download them to a hard drive so I don't lose them. That's the... the end product is to see that person open the gift and see the quilt. And so far, I've had good responses from everybody I've given a quilt to.
Yeah, people do seem to be thankful for them for the most part.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen online where some people say it wasn't appreciated, but I have not experienced that either.
I haven't either. And if it is, well, if it's that way, you did good work, you knew you did good work, and if the person doesn't realize what's in it, it's not my fault.
So. You have to do the best we can.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. I think we covered everything, unless there's something else you wanted to add.
Well, I'm starting to do some teaching of quilters, young beginners, and we've had beginner quilters come to our sit and sew. And my recommendation for people who are wanting to start quilting, and they really don't know, and they don't sew, or they don't have a sewing machine, or whatever, is to go on and watch a lot of YouTube videos about quilting, and take a class. Buy the best tools that you can and the best fabric you can afford. Our senior center here in Willits, they have a pretty good craft shelf and they sell quite a bit of fabric. So I recommend people that I know that aren't working or whatever, they don't have the funds to go buy a lot of fabric, is to go there, and that gets them started. And most importantly, to start small. Don't start with a king-size quilt, or a table runner, or a pillowcase, or something like that.
Yeah.
Basics. Yeah. So that would be my recommendation for new quilters.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've been so looking forward to this, and so thankful that you allowed me to interview you.
Well, I'm grateful that you asked, and let me know when it becomes a podcast, and I will pass it along.
I will.
Okay.
Pray for it sooner than later. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Paula. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.